That's a great job. You have your Bibles tonight. I want to do something just a little different tonight. We'll probably be done a little bit earlier. That's my goal. I'm going to start the study of some of Paul's epistles. Now, 1st and 2nd Corinthians are not considered, they're considered the books that Paul wrote. As some people say, they're an epistle of Paul, but epistle is usually a shorter letter, something that was written in a shorter fashion. And so we have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now, those are pretty well considered the epistles of Paul. Galatians is not a prison epistle. It wasn't written from prison. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were. So we're going to study those books. We're going to take a little bit of time because each one's got a purpose. And it's my desire that all of you in this room grow not just in the way you live, but you grow in your understanding of the things of God. And each one of these books help with our understanding. Now, I want to take just a minute. The book of Galatians, if you were to take note of this book, it's a serious book. There's no thanksgiving for the people in it. There's no praise of them in it. There's no request for their prayer for Paul in it. There's no commendations in it. It is a book written to the Galatians, the people from Gaul. They're called Gauls. And it was written to them because Paul was there and he preached the gospel and they were gloriously saved and they were excited. They trusted the Lord. They were all excited about it. And then the Judaizers sent missionaries there from Jerusalem and the strict Jews and added a couple things to their teaching. And they sort of fell into that. Now, that's what I don't want to happen to anybody in this room. Now, I don't want it to be that you don't come to our church, but I want you to don't fall away from the truth of the gospel. Now, I want to take just a minute. The only way that we know how to get to heaven is from this book. The only way we know how to live is from this book. The only way we know how to talk is from this book. And when I say that, it is a book that gives us the history of salvation. Starts in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, I want you to notice tonight, you're going to help me a little bit here. Why do we need to be saved? Somebody tell me. Why do we need to be saved? You can't go to heaven without it. Why? What's the one thing keeps us from going to heaven? Our sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this book is a sinner. Everybody in this room is a sinner. And the scripture says that we're all sinners and we've fallen short of what God expects in heaven, which is perfection. Now, none of us in this room are perfect or ever will be till we step foot inside heaven. But there are, my understanding, about 800 churches in Northern Virginia. They're not all right. They're not all telling the truth. And you can decipher which ones are and aren't by this book. You can tell when I'm telling the truth from this book. Don't just take what you hear from a pulpit as truth unless it makes sense to you from what you've learned from Scripture. This book is the truth. It is the guide that we have to get to heaven. It is the book that tells us about God. So the Lord said, for all have sinned. Okay? So take just a real quick lesson in salvation, real quickly. We're all sinners. That keeps us from going to heaven. Where does that mean that if we can't go to heaven, where are we going to go? To hell. Only two places. Now, the place of hell was it made for us? Any children, can you tell me, did God make hell for us right down here, Philip? No, he didn't make it for us. Do you know who he made it for? What here? Devil and his angels. You're right. So hell wasn't made for us. But if we reject God's offer of salvation, then we can't go to heaven. We got to go to a place called hell with the old devil. Now, the old devil doesn't walk around with a pitchfork and rule hell. He's as far from hell tonight as he can get. Somebody tell me where he is. Joe? Yeah, he can be here, but Revelation chapter 12 tells us he's doing something in heaven. Anybody know what it is? He's accusing us. He's in heaven accusing us, and Jesus Christ is there standing up for us. And then there are times when he's on earth, because we read this morning that Peter, the Lord Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." So at that point in time, Peter was acting like the old devil, and the old devil was guiding him and leading him. And you remember whenever Judas was on earth, Satan filled his heart. So Satan is back and forth, but he stays in heaven unless something real, real important is here on earth. And to get Jesus crucified was real important. So then he's back to heaven. Now, if you and I are sinners, we're going to die and go to hell. The Lord Jesus did something for us. He died to pay our debt of sin. We don't deserve it. Nobody in this room does. Why did Jesus die for us? Anybody know? John 3:16. Somebody tell me what that is. The love of God. God so loved us that he sent his only son to die and pay our debt of sin. So God loves you and I, and that's the reason Jesus came to the cross, was to pay our debt of sin. Could you raise that screen there? I want the cross to be evident for just a minute, if you could. Now, I want you to notice this. The cross becomes everything to the Christian. Matter of fact, it is, if you were to look at it, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you would find that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And so the cross represents that, the resurrected Christ. Even though he was crucified on that cross, he paid our debt of sin. And so you and I have to look to the cross and say, that is where the blood of Christ was shed that paid for my sin. Now, we're sinners. We don't deserve to go to heaven. It's written down, all of our sin in heaven against our name, which means now we have to go to hell to pay our debt of sin for all eternity, because it can never be paid. It's too heinous to the Lord. The Lord is perfect. He is holy. And yet somehow he's fallen in love with you and I, every one of us. And you might say, like I do sometimes, in my devotions, Lord, who am I that you would care for me? You even know my name. And yet he does know my name. He hears my prayers and he loves me. I can't wrap my head around the creator of all knows me and loves me. And he loves you. And he didn't want us to go to hell. And it's not that he didn't want us to go to hell. He wanted us to be with him, which means we can't go to hell and be with him. So he sent his son to pay our debt of sin that you and I could have an option, a choice. And he said, look, in Romans chapter 10, he said, look, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And then three verses later, he says, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he made salvation so simple that the world has to make it more to make it better. When it's not better, it's not truth. I went to my uncle's funeral last week. And right in the bulletin, it says, now, we're going to partake of the Lord's table tonight as a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. But right in the bulletin of the funeral statement, it said that the sacrament would become the body and the blood of Christ, and you would be eating, drinking the blood of Christ. That's not true. There are no sacraments. A sacrament is something you do to gain favor with God to get to heaven. There are no sacraments. Why is that? Jesus paid it all. It's done. Now you and I have an option, a choice. It's A or B. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me my sin? Come into my heart and save me. And whosoever will shall be saved. And so, as a 14-year-old boy, I saw that verse. And I said, Lord, I put my name in it. If David Pittman, that's me, Lord, would pray, call upon your name, ask you, forgive me my sin, you promised to do so. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because he promised. That's my only hope. It's not because I'm a pastor. Got nothing to do with it. It's not because I try to do what's right. It's got nothing to do with it. I claimed his promise. Everybody in this room, if you've claimed his promise, we're going to heaven together. Not because we go to Temple Baptist Church, but because he promised. You see, I'm risking it all on his promise. But it's no risk. It's a guarantee. So if somebody says, Pastor, are you going to heaven? Absolutely. Why? Because I trusted him as my Savior, and that settled it. Now, Paul preached that. You're sinners. You can go to hell. Jesus died for you. He resurrected. I know he resurrected. We saw him, and you have a choice. And they said, we want Jesus. They prayed and received Christ as Savior. And so they're rejoicing, and then all of a sudden the Judaizers coming in. Now, the Judaizers are this. They're Jewish people that are expecting the Messiah, but don't believe Jesus is him. And so as a result, they go by the Old Testament law, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt. They go by that. If they haven't done all those things, they're pretty good to go. If that's true, Jesus didn't need to die. And so you'll notice in Galatians, he actually says, notice with me if you would, in Galatians 3 and verse number 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Do you understand that if you can be saved by your good works, if you can be saved by good things that you've done, then Jesus died in vain. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says the same thing in chapter 15. So we know Jesus didn't die in vain because God the Father sent him. He died to pay our debt of sin. Now, the Judaizers came in and said, well, there's two problems. One, you can exercise faith in Jesus Christ, but you got to do the works of the law with it. So notice what Paul says when he hears that. He hears this new religion, this new teaching that's happened to the Galatians, and he writes them a letter. And this is the letter we're looking at. And it's to correct, you're saved by faith and works. You put your faith in Christ, and you do good, and then you make it. Now, also another part. You put your faith in Christ, you do good, then you're kept saved by your good works. So Jesus and your goodness will save you, but you, in order to stay saved, you got to keep doing what's right. Now, let me go just a minute. Remember, to get to heaven, you got to be perfect. Anybody here ever lived one perfect day? Nobody. And you never will. Because we're sinners at heart. I told you I tried one day. I said, I'm gonna live one perfect day. I just want the Lord help me to live one perfect day. Now, isn't that a good goal? And so I try to live a good, perfect day, and I get up and I read my Bible, and my mind starts wandering, and I start thinking about the things of the day, and I can just picture the Lord is speaking to my heart, and then all of a sudden I start thinking about something here at work and here at the office, and then, you know, I get in my car and I'm starting to drive, and some guy comes and cuts me off, and I think this thought. I said, where's a police officer when you need him? Blew up my day. Lost my perfect day before I ever got to work. So you know what? I said, I'm not going to try that again. I'm just going to do the best I can. and trust the Lord to take me to heaven, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I got saved by faith. I'm going to get to heaven by faith. Now I'm going to do what's best. But see, what they were saying is, look, if it's true that you could get saved by faith alone, then, and if you're saved forever, then you can live however you want. Paul said, no, you wouldn't. If you get married and you promise till death do you part, you could fool around with all the women on earth. Nobody in their right mind would do that. That's not what marriage is about. God teaches that. So you would not trust Christ as your Savior and say, Lord, I am so thankful you forgave me my sin, and then go live like the devil. But the Judaizers say, but you could. And Paul says, you could, but you won't. And so they said, but if you did, you then got to get back and doing what's right, or you can't go to heaven. So if you understand it was two things, you get saved by works and faith, and you stay saved by doing what's good. So Paul refutes that in this book. And that's why there's no pray for me. There's no commendation, because he was trying to get them to understand you're not doing the right thing. So let's start at verse 1 and notice this, if you would. By the way, John Wesley preached the book of Galatians through the book of Galatians, and William Wilberforce was saved. Anybody know who William Wilberforce was? He was an English politician that helped stop slave trade around the world, because he said, that's not right. He said, God is not honored with that. And he was correct. Not only that, it's a declaration of liberty, this book is. An emancipation from the law and religion. Look, if you would, in Galatians 5, and you'll see what he's trying to say. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, because of all the first four chapters I've written to you, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the works of the law. So he said, look, enjoy liberty. Stand fast in it. Christ has made you free, and he's going to keep you free. But you have to put your faith in him and have this eternal security in your heart that it's settled. Now, Paul gets the word back that these people have fallen for this, this making sense that you get saved by faith, but you got to keep it by works. Or you can get mostly saved by faith, but then you add works to it and it works. You're on your way to heaven. Notice, Paul, an apostle, verse 1, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He said, God was the one that called me to be an apostle. Now, this is important because he's writing them something. He's writing them doctrine that they must believe to get to heaven. So he says, look, I was not called of man. I didn't get my walking papers from Jerusalem. I've been called of God. And then he says and reminds them, look, not here in this passage, but you remember Acts chapter 9 when he said, I saw a light from heaven and God called me. I was saved. And he said, I want you to preach my name. He said, I had no choice. I was called of God. So notice, if you would, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. So it's written to all the churches of Galatia. So somehow all these churches got infected by this false doctrine. And you'll notice he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins. Now God the Father sent his Son, but God the Son had to be willing to say, I'll go. So that's the reason this verse is dead accurate. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. It's an original word here. I like it. Exonereo is the word for to tear out, to pull out of the world. Notice what he says. To deliver us from this present evil world. God wanted to rip us out of the world and all of its beliefs and give us the peace of God in our heart. And that's a wonderful thing that he's done that. Our children can have peace. You and I can have peace. We can worship the Lord in peace. We can sing to him because our debt is paid. We're a child of God, and that's settled. And so he says, don't you want to live for the Lord because of what he's done for you? It's a salvation that's free, but it's a walk of liberty without all these rules and regulations. It's just that you know the Father, what he wants, so live like it. That's what he's saying. Sure, you shouldn't lie, because lying is always wrong, every level. You shouldn't cheat, because cheating's wrong on every level. But I don't want you to look around and say, I can't this and I can't that. I want you to look around and say, boy, I can think the right thoughts and I can worship you and I can go to church and I can read my Bible and you'll speak with me and I can have my prayers answered. It's not like I can't do this or he won't answer my prayers and I can't do that. It's a salvation of grace. That you and I can do the things we ought to do because Jesus freed us up to do it. And so stand fast in your liberty. And notice what he said in verse number 5. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. So God gets the glory for our salvation. If you could do one thing to get to heaven or to stay in heaven, it's partly on you. And the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you did anything to get to heaven, partially helped with salvation, did what was right to keep it, when you get to heaven, I'd be the first one to look at me and say, hey, Scott, what did you do to get to heaven? Well, you know, I was a youth pastor, and I helped, you know, all the kids at Temple Baptist Church, and I said, I was the pastor, and I was there preaching the gospel, and I tried my best to do what's right, and God honored that. And God said, none of that matters for salvation. My son paid for it all. And I freed you to live as a pastor because you love me. Not because you get paid, not because the people want you to or don't want you to, but because you love me and want to please me. That's the reason Risha sang the song this morning. That's the goal, is I want to sing the song today, not so people will notice me, but it's so that I can honor the Lord. He's called me to do this. So I'm going to sing for you. Play the piano. Hannah gets up here to play the piano. Well, I got to do it. Nobody else to do it. No, 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 no. It'll help me get to heaven. No, 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 no. One of the guys at the new church, I was standing there talking to him, and I said, well, I really appreciate all the hard work you've put in it. He says, well, I hope the man upstairs, it helps me a little bit better to get in. It won't. Nope. And so all I'm trying to get you to understand today is that the Galatians had the mindset, because of wrong teaching, that you can do something and it'll help. You can do nothing and it won't help. It won't help you get saved or stay saved. Only Jesus can do that. So now notice, if you would, in verse 6. And we're going to stop in just a minute. Notice what he says. I marvel. And you know, he uses a word. Have you ever heard of the Marvel? You know, the Marvel comic books and the Marvel this and Mr. Marvel and all the different things. He says, I'm shocked that you guys would dare believe this. Notice what he says. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him, from Jesus, that called you into the grace of God, Christ, unto another gospel. I'm shocked that you would believe something else. Take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 2, if you would. Titus chapter 2. Notice, if you would, Titus 2, verse number 11. Look at what he says here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of great God, our Savior, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, buy us out of this old filthy world from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, look, he saved you so that you'd want to do what's right. You have a passion for doing what's right. I have a passion to work hard because that's what Jesus said. I have a passion to think right because that's what Jesus said. I have a passion to love my wife because that's what Jesus said. Husbands, love your wife like I love the church. I have a passion for seeing somebody trust Christ as Savior because Jesus did. And I have a passion, and I'm supposed to have that because I want to please the Lord. But it's got nothing to do with me getting to heaven. That's settled. Notice, if you would, go back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said, I marveled they are so soon removed from him, the Christ that called you unto the grace of Christ. That calling, that grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. He said, you accepted it. That grace of God that all of us get called with. How many of you were sitting in a church service and you felt the call of God to be saved? You were under conviction and you got saved in a church service. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Oh, raise it up good and high. Raise it all over the place. Okay? Now, you accepted Christ as Savior. You can put it down now. You accepted Christ as Savior. You heard the call of God. The call of God comes to everybody at some point in time. How many of you were saved at home? Maybe beside a bed, your parents led you to Christ. The Holy Spirit touched your heart and you went to your parents and said, I think I'd like to be saved. How many of you are saved like that? Raise your hand. Okay? So many of you. Okay? But you go to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, would you save me? And the call of God comes to everybody on the face of the earth because Jesus loves us. And we either accept it or reject it. Now tell me this. How many times does the Bible say the call of God, the grace of God that brings salvation comes to a man? How many times does it say it comes? It doesn't say it can't come more, but it promises everybody an opportunity. That's why we're not Calvinists. Because God loves everybody and comes to save everybody and ask everybody to be saved. I can remember sitting in church many times and being convicted, but was too scared to go forward and trust Christ. So the call of God came to my heart many times. How many of you were saved? Now listen, watch this. How many of you were saved because the call of God burned your heart and you were at home or you were at church and you got saved? You accepted it. Would you raise your hand? Put it up. Again, call of God at home or at church? Raise it up good and high. Okay, how many of you, keep it up. How many of you got saved the first time he called you? Put your hands up. Two or three times? Aren't you glad if your phone goes off, it doesn't take you not to heaven, okay? You don't lose your salvation. How many of you remember when Susan was sitting on the front row and her phone went off? Raise your hand. And she looked at me and went, I said, get it. And she's waiting like, nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Nobody. And she's slowly going for your phone. If your phone goes off, just grab it. It's not a big deal. How many of you happened to all of us? How many of you happened to all of us? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Oh, so many of us. Not a big deal. Hey, I've had friends call me when I'm in church. Preachers call me when I'm in church. And I feel my phone buzz. Why's Jim Shepard calling me? Oh, he's in California. Forgot there's a 3-hour difference. So all of us can make a mistake. Remember this. No mistake. Sends a Christian to hell. The debt's paid. The grace of God that comes many times, usually, but only promised once. So you don't want to take advantage of the grace of God and put it off and say, he'll come next Sunday. He'll come the Sunday after that. Because we're not promised but once. Now, notice if you would, and we'll close. Look in verse 7. Which is not another gospel. There's not two ways to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. So notice, if you would, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you. Now, this word trouble, to agitate, it means kind of, you take a jar, you're trying to mix up your tea, and so you take a jar with sugar in it, and you try to shake it up and down. That's this word, to trouble you, to get you irritated. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 7, he says that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, would twist the gospel of Christ into another gospel. It's the word twist. It's to take the word of God and twist it into where it's not true. But though an angel, verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Said, he's not going to be blessed of God. So the idea is this: no one has the right to pervert the gospel by the power of God. So all of us in this room, rejoice in your salvation. It's free. It's a promise from God. But don't take advantage of it by the way we live. That's the theme of Romans chapter 5 and 6. It's the theme of the second of chapter 5, verse 18 through 25 in Galatians. Don't take advantage of the freedom that you have, but enjoy it. Don't live in fear, but live in victory. Tonight, are you living in victory? Are you rejoicing in being saved? Are you doing what's right to please him because he saved you? That's the motivation for every Christian. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. We'll go to chapter 1, verse 9 next week and start. Could I challenge you? Let's put the Lord first. We're going to partake of the Lord's table tonight. And I just would remind you, if you would, look at your own heart. Make sure things are right between you and the Lord. Remember what he's done for us. Father, speak to hearts tonight, as only you can. In your name we pray. Amen.